welcome to Thursday Live Lesson here on Ukulele Underground. My name is Aldrin Guerrero, and I'm joined by Mr. Aaron, the voice, Nakamura. Say, what's up, Aaron?
What's up?
And Mr. Kahai, the legend, Fergan. Say, what's up, Kahai?
What's up?
So the three guys are here. What we do here is basically a nice discussion of all things ukulele. You guys usually have questions throughout the week. We get them through emails, through messages, and stuff like that. You know, and we answer those questions as best as we can. Well, I try to answer best as I can, and I let the other two guys kind of chime in with their two cents, and we come up with the best possible answer for you folks. Sometimes we just kind of talk. Sometimes there's no questions and stuff. Sometimes we just kind of talk, have a nice discussion. You know, when it comes to ukulele, we've been playing this thing for decades now, and we have some stories to share. So that's kind of how this is. So let me know, Kahai, do we have any questions for this week?
not yet. I was going to say, Alan Fasek said, sup.
Sup. Okay, sup. Also, because this is Thursday Live Lesson, we are live, so we do have a chat below. So if you guys want to type in your question, we'll answer them as best as we can. And these guys will be helping me answer these questions. So fire away. If we do not have any questions, like Ahai said, we might as well just kind of talk ukulele. So my question is here for today, what I want to bring to the table.
And for
for you guys, because I know it's going to be different for everybody. And I get this question too, like, all the time. When, and I want to discuss this today, when is a good time to change your strings? Because I've been talking about changing these. Yeah, yeah, see, kind of.
We actually grown. We got that in the chat or something.
Oh, did we?
I got that in intercom, and I answered him back because we talked about it for other previous live lessons.
Right?
So, well, when is it a good time to change it? I don't. Do you want to answer that first?
Well, you know, I always we've always answered this, like, for other people. We always kind of give this advice, like, oh, maybe this, like, this many times. But for some reason, I don't need my own advice is what I was kind of getting at, because I want to bring up the strings of this ukulele. I think have been on here since October, like, before we went on tour to California. We did a NorCal. We played in San Francisco for that.
Going on.
We played over at the Utour Fest in San Francisco, and I remembered, okay, you know, I'm gonna change all the strings on all my ukuleles before I go up, so that I don't have to kind of worry about it during the holiday season and stuff. And lo and behold, I still have not changed these strings. And it's March. We're almost in the middle of March, and I've still not changed these strings. So, like, when is, you know, like, was what is the real time? I mean, like, we have an answer, and we've given answers before, like, you know, to this question. But what is our own personal, like, that's kind of what I want. When is your own? Because, to be honest with you folks, it really is a personal question. It's whenever you want to change your strings is the right answer.
Yeah.
You know, like, whenever you feel like those strings just no longer can handle, like, you know, playing. And usually for me, that's when they're broken. When they're broken, that's when I change them. For my guitar, anyway. Like, that guitar, there's a guitar back there.
A couple days ago, I was playing it.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up too. And I was, and the first thing I told Aaron, I was like, I hope you got your tetanus shots. Like, no joke. The first thing that came out of my mouth, I was like, you got your tetanus shots, right? He's like, I haven't renewed it in the past 10 years. So I'm like, just saying that there's the rust on that guitar.
There is, yeah.
So there,
yeah,
you know,
can you sign this waiver
before you play that guitar? Yeah, because, you know, we always talk about it, where it's like, oh yeah, you should change it, like, once a month or once every other month and stuff. Seems like a good idea, and it is a good idea. That is the absolute right answer when you should we should change the strings. But now my new question is, when is everyone's personal time to change strings? Because I feel like everyone is different. For myself, it's, I don't know, if I'm being 100% honest, like, completely honest, maybe 4 or 5 months. That's, like, an accurate time that I actually change my strings. If there's something that I need to change my strings for, definitely I'll change it, like, before that, if I have to do a recording or something, or if there's, like, a big show coming up, or if there's, you know, just like in October, there was a tour that, you know, that I had to get ready for, I change my strings. But if I'm just at home doing nothing and just playing around and stuff, and if I'm being 100% honest, I don't really, like, practice that much, you know, anymore, as much as I should be practicing. So knowing that my ukulele doesn't really get as much play as it, you know, as it used to get, I change it maybe every 3-4 months, if that. You know, it's been almost five, going on 5 months, and these strings have, you know, needed some changing.
So Aaron is holding the Logi ukulele that yeah. he usually plays during the Fridays. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the last time you changed those strings on that ukulele?
No.
So yeah, we're being 100% honest today.
So for my one, is the answer is never. Yeah, it's like if it still plays, then the strings are still good.
There's that one behind you, I think. Uh-huh. That is the set of carbon strings that we got sent as a demo. So that's like
how many years?
Yeah,
how many years ago? Yeah, is this this Kamo ukulele? Shout out to Kamo ukulele. Is these the carbons? No, these are not the carbons, are they?
So that is when the Dario
are you sure this doesn't look like carbons?
These are
pro artes.
Really?
I mean, I don't. Or maybe they were carbon and it's been so long that they're like clear white now. Because I don't think the carbon is clear white. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I changed it though. Maybe once, but like
I guess they sent
it's still years probably because I don't know when the last time we changed this. Because I mean we don't use this ukulele. It's just an ukulele that is this yours that you use for work, Kahai?
Occasionally, just to check stuff.
Yeah, just to check if they're editing stuff. And I mean, Kahai needs to kind of make sure that what fret is Aldrin on and stuff. He uses this to kind of. To double check, and just to make sure that our content is always accurate. He doubles, triple, quadruple checks it for you folks. So he kind of uses this ukulele, and since it's not like a performing or even a uke that goes on camera, we don't really care about changing the string all too much. But this uke does go on camera, and it does need to be in tune. And
even that is 4 months or something.
And I do get embarrassed because I'm carrying the Kanilea name, So if I haven't and the Akila name at this point, right? Aldrin Guerrero Akila name, and it's good for the first couple months and stuff, and it stays in tune as much as it can. But there's some Friday Live jams I listen to. It's like, oh my god, I gotta change those strings. And and I say that. Lo and behold, they haven't gotten changed in how many months, but I say it every week. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta change these strings. Oh my god, I gotta change these strings. But they work. They still work. We just filmed an ukulele challenge with them, and it's fine. So do I need to change them, really? And that's a professional ukulele player telling you guys do you really need to change those? I know some uke players will tell you that you change them every couple months, and that's what I usually that's my script. Mm-hmm. My script is to tell people every other month you should change your strings, and you should. That's absolutely I still stand behind that.
Yeah,
but
I would say for it to play its best.
Yeah. Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Change it every couple months. Even guys like Kale, and I don't know if I'm being revealing about Kale or anything, but we were we were in Thailand, and I remember we were on a bus and we're jamming in the back of the bus, like how boys do. We're jamming in the back of the bus, and we switched ukuleles for a song. And I remember playing his uke. I'm like, dude, these strings are so dead. And he's like, I haven't changed these strings in about a year. I'm like, what? Kale, dude.
And he tours a lot.
he tours all the time. Yeah. And he's a very aggressive player like myself.
It's not a great excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kale does when he's touring and he's on stage, he's using the pickup in the uke, right? So that...
But he's also a recording artist. You know what I mean? Goes and records and stuff. I know he records in the studio at least once a year.
Even that though, even if you're using your plugin or your plug, you still want to change your strings. But it's
He said it was about a year, maybe 8 to 12 months, between that that time period. 8 months is still kind of a long time. I don't know if I would let it get that far, for an ukulele that I use all the time for him
on stage.
At that point, when we were touring Thailand, that was his only ukulele. So now he has, I think, three ukuleles that that he uses. He uses that Kamaka that he's had, for forever. Basically, he has another Kamaka that is I don't know if it's no, it's not an Otasan Kamaka, but it's got like the rope binding. It's got a rope binding ukulele Kamaka, and he's also got a Anuenue tenor ukulele. I think that is custom made for him. So he has these three ukes now, and I hope he changes them. But I guess at that point, he doesn't need to change as much. Yeah, he rotates. You know, so maybe that should be my excuse. It's like, I rotate between ukes as well, you know,
but still, not really.
But not really. I have one that I use on stage all the time. So that one should, at least that one should get changed, and this one should get changed, because these two get the most, like, you know, music time, you know, screen time, like stage time, like it. I really should change. And I was thinking about that. I was like, I gotta come up front, be honest with everyone, like that. You know, my advice is still solid. Like every couple months, solid advice.
I think what happens too, or for me at least, is I get used to playing with bad strings.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, it still sounds okay. And I'm playing with really, you know, dead strings, or they're terrible.
Yeah,
and you know, like the intonation is off. But then I'm really like, oh yeah, you just like kind of bend it a little bit
close enough.
When you want to play this, you know.
But then as soon as you change it, it's like, that's why people change their strings.
And I've told the story, like my dad and stuff, like, you know, he'd play guitar until the strings break. And when the strings break, like if he could tie it together, like he'd still play it. Like, you know, he'd be playing.
That's
that
a little
way.
Extreme.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought it was super dangerous, you know, like it's because he'll tie the metal string, he'll like tie it together, and it goes up to like, you know, up to tension. So I don't know like if that's good, but the thing is, he's not like, he doesn't pick on the guitar or anything, so he sticks to like the first like three or four frets, you know. So if he's tying it at like the seventh fret, like it doesn't get in the way with his playing, so he doesn't really care, you know. He's just an old school player like that. But like I remember watching a video by, this is going to go really, really, really way back. I don't think even Kahai will notice, will recognize his name. But remember Guting from all the way back, original OG ukulele on the ground member, Guting. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a rough dude, you know. He's from NorCal. He's kind of rough around, you know, like seems like he works, you know, like a construction job or like some kind of mechanic. I know he's like a, you know, he's one of those guys, like very manly man kind of man, rough guy. He's a manly man kind of guy. And I was watching his videos. One of his videos, like he did that same thing where like he tied up the he tied up the string because he's like, oh, no can afford strings, so he's got a tie string. It's like, oh snap, this guy is so like, you know, this guy's hardcore, and he's like, he's a picker, you know, he's a picker, and he like tied it up.
Kind of jumps over the knot.
Yeah, I don't know what he did, but I was I remember being in my room watching that video. I was like, that right on, Guting. You know? So if you guys want to check out Guting, Guting on YouTube. I don't know which video that was, but that guy's good. I don't know what happened to him. I hope, you know, he comes back to call the community. He was really good. He's one of those guys that just kind of stayed in his room and jammed like for YouTube and stuff.
Yeah,
but you know, he was really good. We met him also. Yeah, he came to one of the San Francisco meetups, the Golden Gate Park or that we had a long time ago.
That's kind of what I liked about that early YouTube community.
Yeah,
you know, there were like mini YouTube stars, and we all kind of knew each other, and we could kind of hang out, and it wasn't a big deal. Like now if you're a YouTube star, you're like kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But like back then,
but in order to be a YouTube star now, like you need like production. Back then.
But back when YouTube was kind of first starting.
Yeah.
It was like just normal people with a camera.
Because I mean, like Julia Nunes now is like a huge ukulele star. You know, she plays Bonnaroo, she plays like all these, you know, I think she toured with like I'm like blanking out. She's toured a lot of people, especially Ben Folds. Like she's toured Ben Folds. Like that's a big deal, you know. Like and she started out with like just like in her dorm, you know, like camera from her computer and stuff in her dorm, and she's making all these like fancy cuts and stuff, like with these multi-track videos, you know, that she was doing, and it was very creative. And now, like, you know, if Julia Nunes came out now with the videos that she came out with, she wouldn't go nowhere. And that's the thing. Like, people are missing out on like, these guys.
Just because there are so many more people doing
it. Yeah, that's true, too.
It's hard to stand out.
Yeah, and I mean that's the one. You know, those are the videos that are getting clicks. Those are the videos that are getting views and stuff, and people mm-hmm. that are you know being recognized now as those high production kind of things. So you know what happens to all the talented Julia Noons out there? You know that like that are just as talented, maybe even more. You know, and are very creative and you know and can sing and play really well and stuff. But it's just not.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. But then yeah, you got so, guys like Feng Yi who like regardless of what like, you know, his the quality of his videos are, it's gonna get views because he's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. But I think well music I think in general should be just for the love of it and then
yeah. Yeah.
if you get noticed or not, it's
that's
just,
true.
Just
that's
kind of depends on yeah. a combination of luck mm. and skill.
Because it's still around, like, you know, those low-quality videos on YouTube and stuff, and people just kind of jamming in their ukulele with, like, low-quality cameras instead of, like, these fancy, schmancy SLRs, you know, that everyone's using now. Mm-hmm. I think those still exist, but those are just not getting as much attention as the, you know, the fancy production ones now.
Yeah, it's hard because there are kind of, like, bigger budget companies that mm. do YouTube videos now,
true,
too.
Yeah.
So
hard to stand out.
Yeah, it's hard to mm-hmm. hard for like somebody mm-hmm. in their bedroom to kind of compete with somebody who has mm-hmm. like a pretty big budget,
right?
Or like
right.
a production company yeah. that has
look
a
at
budget.
Us old folks. We're like, remember the old days yeah. of YouTube?
yeah. Well, we have like a company, quote unquote, and, but we're still pretty low budget as far as all the things that we do.
Yeah, please. Please don't peek behind the curtain of Ukulele Underground. We are held together by paper clips and rubber bands.
That was that's actually great. Like
not an understatement.
We are held together by Band-Aids.
Yeah, actually, just mm-hmm. what was it 2 days ago when we were filming another ukulele mm-hmm. challenge, mm-hmm. and I wanted to block out the light coming from the window behind you.
Yeah.
And so if you look back there, there's a cardboard box taped.
Fell down.
Oh, yeah.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah, it was so, there, but it was just yeah. taped with, so using it, yeah. using regular tape.
Yep. High production here at Ukulele
High
Underground.
Production.
Yeah,
you just got to do what you got
to
do.
Our subscription, you know, your subscription money is going to a good place. Like cardboard for our...
to block out light from the window.
So thank you for subscribing.
Isn't that cardboard? Isn't that like from when we got sent the Jake thing?
Oh, really?
Like,
that's yeah, Jake's yeah. cardboard. Yeah, so thank you to Mark for the cardboard.
Supplying us with some cardboard. Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, so don't peek behind the curtain. I mean, we've had guests come in here and stuff like to Ukulele Underground, and I'm always kind of embarrassed. Like, and I gotta like brief them before they come down. I'm like, yeah. okay, now
it's
I know.
Kind of a
know.
Small, messy office.
A good friend of mine who will not be named is coming over next month, and he's like a big deal. He's like a big deal. He's you know, we're talking big deal. Like, and he's actually asked like, hey, you know, like, do you guys have like a like an ukulele on the ground, like headquarters? He's like, yeah, but I don't really want to bring you there because I, you know,
let's
I visited where you work
to
and it's...
a restaurant instead.
You can come to our show at the restaurant. Yeah, he's like, he wanted to like, you know, kind of just check us out and stuff because I asked, I was like, hey, you know, kind of do a podcast and stuff. You know, but then I thought about it like, nah, I don't think we should bring him in here. We could have had a high profile name on the podcast, but, and now I can't name him because I don't want people to bother, I don't want people to bother him or he doesn't want to be bothered when he's here.
Okay, big, so big we also got Renee asked, mm. going back to the string thing,
yep.
Renee asked, what is the best way to clean my strings? My uke is around a lot of food.
So,
the struggle is real.
You know, like, I toured with Chris Salvador, who was, like, very meticulous at cleaning his ukulele. He always carried around a microfiber cloth. And the thing is, like, before and after he plays his ukulele, and, you know, he always wipes it down. Then he puts it in the case. You know, like, he never... That's one thing that I noticed about Chris. He never leaves it out and stuff. If he's going to play it, he's going to play it. So he takes his microfiber cloth. Do you have any kind of thing here? He puts it underneath the, you know, underneath the strings like this. And here we go. So he takes his cloth, puts it underneath the strings, like so. Oh, you see that? Yes, takes it underneath the strings, and then he leaves it right here. So when he puts it in his case, that's how it goes, you know, that's how it goes in his case. And when he takes it out, he puts the cloth over like this, wipes down the string, so you can kind of see it from this angle, so you can see why that's like a good idea. So he puts it on. So that means like any kind of dust or anything that's, you know, from his case is not going to go on the fretboard, because that's usually where it shows, right? So then since he knows he's not going to get any dirt on his fretboard, he kind of like covers it up like this on the string, wipes the strings down, and then wipes this bottom part down, because that's the part that we ignore on the ukulele. So he wipes that, you know, he wipes that up, and then does one of these, wipes the headstock, body, and then he goes to play. And then after he's done playing, you know, wipes up the body. It does it in reverse. It wipes the body, wipes that up, puts it underneath, wipes that part. So he would like put it underneath like this, and I watched him do it like every single time.
Yeah. So if you're doing that every time, it's like you
put it in there, and then like he puts it up again, and then he puts it back in his case. It's nice. I mean, he's got like a custom-y canilea, you know, like, and he wants to make sure it stays nice. Like, you don't have to do that with your ukulele, but if you have a nicer ukulele that, you know, you'd like to take care of, that's like a good idea to do all the time. But if it's just something that you don't really care about, microfiber cloth, you know, just put it underneath like Chris Salvador would, put it underneath and just wipe your strings down that way.
Yeah.
Just kind of wrap it and wipe it down like that. You can do individual strings if you want to do that. Just kind of like wipe it like this, and then you're all good. Mm-hmm. As long as you wipe it, you know, if you feel like your strings got super dirty, or like if you were eating, you know, like you were saying, you're on food all the time. If you were eating, or if you feel like there was something that splattered on the, you know, on the strings, go clean it up. And then, that's as easy as sliding it under, wiping it down.
That makes sense. That kind of like cuts down on how often you have to like really get into the grime and get that all.
Yeah, he's a very clean dude. Like we roomed together when we were in Korea, and it's like just like, you know, I'm a very messy person, like, and Aaron is touring me everywhere. Like, he's the kind of guy gets up, like makes his bed, like full on, like gets everything ready, like the like his shirt, like gets a hanger, like this is the clothes I'm gonna wear for today, blah 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 blah, you know, practices ukulele for like 15 minutes, then he goes and does his like morning thing. I'm like, routine, kinda. Yeah, he's a, you know, and that's why he's so good. He's very organized.
I like when I travel with you guys, like Aaron hangs, like, you know, he'll hang like clothes on the hanger in the hotel and stuff.
Yeah.
And then for me, I'm just like, I think this is not that wrinkly. And I just put it on. This looks good. This is okay.
See, at least you're like that. Like, I just keep it in the in my suitcase, and I just like grab certain, like, okay, what am I going to wear today? This one and this one. And then like my dirty clothes, like, I'll just put it away from the, but it's in a pile still. It's like, in a pile. Yeah, two separate piles.
Yeah, I have that.
Clean and the dirty pile.
And then Aaron is like ironing stuff. That is how an adult is. That's adulting.
Yeah, Aaron is a full fledged adult now. He's with like a savings account kind of guy.
is that what it is?
Yeah, I know. If you want to adult it like Aaron does, you need a savings account.
You gotta set up your Bear Share. Bear savings account.
My Kuma account. So Renee, actually, earlier she also said, I got a strange buzz the last time I changed my strings, and still fighting it. And if you get a buzz like right after you change your strings, and you didn't have one before
then, it's probably the strings.
The strings might have a defect, right? Like, it might just have like a chip or something that's causing it to.
Or, I mean, is it like the same, so here's another thing too, is it the same type of string or is it a different type of string? Because it might be like a different tension, so, or it might be a different diameter. So the diameter might be like, you know, thicker, and that's what's making it, you know, making it buzz, because it's not going to fit in the right in the nut, you know, in the right slot, because it might be bigger than what you're used to. So your ukulele might be like, oh, this is, you know, it's like putting on an extra large shirt and you're like a small, you know, and it's gonna drag. So same thing with ukulele strings. If it's not like meant for whatever, you know, your uke is, then that's why when people do the setups like MIM and stuff, like, she asks them like, what kind of strings do you like to use, and she'll set it up for, you know, those kind of strings that people like to use.
Also, if you kind of check your saddle, sometimes if you take off all your strings at once, the saddle might not have.
It might move a little bit, and if the saddle moves a little bit, then that means it might not be in the right spot.
Or maybe you put your saddle on backwards.
Oh yeah, that could have been another thing too.
If the saddle fell out,
especially with these ukuleles, right? Because there's not really a side group to hold them in.
You can just move out.
And also, same thing like what Aaron was saying, you might have it backwards because if this pops off. And you didn't, you didn't know which side it goes, and you just kind of have to guess,
Yeah.
So intonation might be off. There might be some buzzing and stuff. So there's a lot of different factors in what could be happening, with your ukulele as far as buzzing goes. Hey, it's got lining instead of the regular curve. No, it doesn't have a curve. So this is one of their older ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should not do curve because it's less, it's less wood touching the other wood. Therefore, you get a better sound.
With these strings too, the extruded strings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that it just has a little bump or something, or just a little bit of extra nylon got, added onto that thing, and it's just a little, a little bump that'll, when you play it, it'll rub against your fretboard.
So that could be another factor. So there's lots of reasons why. Your ukulele is buzzing, but it's most likely the new string that you put on there.
Yeah, it for sure. If you went from the same brand of strings, and then you just went a same brand of strings, and you know that you put your saddle back right and you did everything correct, and it's buzzing now, then it's probably that's just bum strings. Right?
It's just
a chance that you might not get good strings.
Oh, what you got there, Harry?
Oh, well, Renee still has some follow-up questions, but there's another question in the chat, too.
Go ahead. So
Renee said, different brand of strings. I put Worth Browns on my Tide ukulele, but I'm not sure what she had on before.
Before that. Well, Worth Browns are usually pretty skinny, so I don't think it's a diameter problem.
Yeah. But the saddle did pop off, and I have switched it once, so it could be that. And then also asked, can I put tenor strings on my concert?
You could, but you're also running the risk of of it's buzzing. You also run the risk of the intonation not being not being on it. But by all means, go ahead. I put tenor strings on my soprano. I'm not about to lecture people about don't do that because
you totally can.
I think it's a safer bet to put concert strings on concerts, but it's not too much of a gamble to put tenor strings on.
Yeah, I mean we used to put guitar strings on our ukuleles, and people told us don't do that, and now you have pro arte.
That's what the pro arte set is classical guitar strings.
So you know what? And go crazy.
Yeah.
Kovai actually asked, another buzz I ran into once on a different instrument was one of the screws in the tuner was a little loose after changing strings. And that does check your hardware. The hardware can get...
So the tuner, talking about the tuning pegs.
Yeah, so I mean, any of these, any of these things loose is going to make it rattle, so if... Because what you're doing is when you pluck the string, you're sending vibration. That vibration goes up here. So if this is not,
if there is into rattle,
right, it'll rattle,
it'll vibrate.
So then there's a lot of screws. I mean, there's a screws here, there's a big one in the middle, there's some screws on the on the side, so any one of those could affect.
We've been getting ready to film, and you've been playing, and then I'll be like, oh, there's a little bit of buzzing or something going on. And you just look at your ukulele and you press something down.
Yeah.
And how about now? And it's like, yep, that's gone.
Yeah.
It's just a little part that's loose, right?
I think that particular time, one of the wires, because, this does have a plug-in, a pickup on it. So that wire has to, has to go somewhere. So sometimes the wire itself might be a little bit loose. And since your top is vibrating, so if the wire is just a little bit loose and it's making that wire vibrate, and this vibrating gets the wire, that's going to cause a buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of...
Yeah.
So another common, well, not super common one that could cause a buzz is if one of the bracings on the inside of the ukulele is not glued perfect or glued solidly onto it. That can cause a buzz. I think this ukulele that I'm holding has a loose bracing.
Broken brace.
Yeah, so you can, I think you can, I don't know, you can kind of hear it. but but yeah, but it doesn't, you know. And it's usually just certain frequencies. So if you play a certain note, then it'll buzz, just because it's like, you know,
it kind of vibrates
tuned to that frequency. Yeah.
You and you had like two. Your are the battery pack for that ukulele is like Velcroed inside, right?
Yeah.
And then like it'll might just get loose or something. And I know like the battery packs where it's like plastic and it slides into the side.
Yeah, that's another one like, too. Yeah.
You just sometimes if you just press on it to make it stay, you know, to the ukulele,
it's try not gonna like rattle against the
So I like I think too, like if you're not. If you don't have a battery in there and you're not using the battery function, like just take just it
take
out,
it out. Yeah.
So it doesn't shake. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot to
but, a lot of different factors.
But yeah, it kind of sounds like it might have been the saddle. And try and flip it around and see if that changes it. But
check your intonation. If your intonation is a little bit off tune, so how you check your intonation? Play zero and then like play 12. So this is like a bad set of strings.
Slightly off.
Slightly flat. That's not bad, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me test it. Let me test it. But you can hear, like, it's a couple cents flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Cents
flat. That's sharp.
Okay.
That's good.
Oh, there was a question earlier.
2 out of 4. Not bad.
What brand of strings do you think are the best?
AG Cross AQ all day. All day, every now. it is subjective. Honestly, it's subjective. It's based on what you want your ukulele to sound like because...
And your playing style.
Yeah, and your playing style, you know. And
but personally?
Personally, AG Cross AQ all day, every day. These strings, I created these strings with Akila. And these strings are basically made for me. So they're not, they might not be the best strings for everyone else and stuff, but for myself and what I do. That's why this has been on for 4 or 5 months. And I'm like, I don't want to change them yet because they still sound okay. You know, they still sound okay. Longevity of these strings, I've put them to the test and stuff. And as you can, you know, as you can see, these strings are still kicking even after I changed them all the way back in October.
I think we have a few sets in the office.
AG Cross AQ?
We might be able to give that away sometime.
How about this? Because we're going to be doing a new song challenge this week. I'll give you a signed AG Cross AQ set of strings.
Well, like the
for whoever,
pick one, you know, we'll pick one random person.
One winner.
Yeah, we'll explain randomly. We'll explain the rules. Okay. We'll explain the
rules.
You
want to grab a pack?
It's
in the closet.
In the meantime, you guys can talk about, there was, Alex asked, while you're on the subject, do you oil your ukulele? And if so, with what?
Oh, in some cases you do. If you want to like restore that shine and stuff, I recommend this lemon oil. So this is a cleaner and a conditioner for your ukulele, especially my fretboard, because the fretboard tends to get kind of grimy. It tends to get really gross sometimes. So like Chris's idea of, you know, wiping it down all the time keeps it from getting super gross. But if you're like me and you don't care, you gotta do this. I do this maybe twice a year. So lemon oil,
we don't really have to worry about it like here in Hawaii. But in drier places too, you might want to do that to rehydrate your
To rehydrate your wood. Yeah.
That's what in the chat Alan was kind of saying that he's been doing that.
Yeah, so you know, lemon oil, and it's just lemon oil. You're not putting any kind of harmful chemicals into your ukulele, damaging the finish or anything like that. Lemon oil is pretty safe. You know, I've been using this, and a bunch of professionals will also tell you that like lemon oil is a, you know, pretty safe bet onto if you want to clean up your ukulele.
If you want to be really sure though, like check what fretboard wood it's made out of, and then like because they just say I really don't think you're gonna damage your fretboard using lemon oil, like any fretboard, but they are like some people who say like, oh, you might not want to use it and you might want to use something else instead.
On different types of wood, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So lemon oil, you know, just dab a little bit on there. Like, what I do is for this one, I just kind of open it and I go, whoop, like just, you know, one time. I just do that and like
and then go over it with a cloth.
And then go over it with a cloth, just kind of rub it down and stuff. If you really, really, really want to like get in there, I think we did a uke minute with like using 4-0, like the
steel wool.
Like steel wool. and that if it's like green kind of grimy, I know there's like some ukuleles out there that haven't been played in like a year, 2 years, developed like super duper grime, and it's turning that kind of, you know, that moss green, you know, like really light green and stuff. You can use them in oil as well in some 4.0 wool. But check out that Youth Minute.
I've been using F1, I think, mm-hmm. oil, mm-hmm. and it's like a fretboard oil, and just to
what is it made of?
I don't know, but I think they said that it is like the thing that you want to use if you don't want to use lemon oil. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the opposite. It's a good
alternate. Okay, so yeah, so lemon oil, you know, for the most part, I think it's pretty safe for mm-hmm. you know, for most woods. So check this out. And just dab it on there, just wipey-wipey, you know, you got a nice shiny.
I know you also said, too, if you're worried about lemon oil being too strong, or any oil being too strong, right, you dilute it with water.
Another thing you can do is instead, because I like to put it on direct into my ukulele, you can also put it onto the cloth first and then put it on your, you know, and then put it on your uke so that it's not as much, but I like, I mean, my fretboards tend to get super gross, so it's just like I need to put as much. If I could put a whole bottle in this one uke, I would. But you know,
You probably don't want to.
That was a joke. I have to, to clarify. I'm just kidding.
People are coming to us for advice.
Let's show these strings. Right. So here's what they look like. These are called AG Cross AQ strings. So shout out to Ocula Strings. We made these together. They're awesome. These are mint green strings, so they're kind of like, you know, the packaging is kind of
like
mint
clear, green. They have a huge tint to it
of mint green, and it looked like this. So you know, like it doesn't look green, but can we do a close up and stuff? Maybe we'll see the green,
just a little bit.
It's like it's not obvious.
It's hard to see in the camera too. Yeah.
Nah. Okay. It's looking a little bit blue or purple, but you know what. Now these are the strings. They're kind of pricey, actually. I didn't realize like how pricey these are going to be. But I think you can get them online for maybe like $15. You know, like for a set. But yeah, I've collaborated with them, and the reason why we collaborated is because, you know, I think I've told the story before, because I told them I didn't like their strings. I'm like, Ocula is pretty low, like, you know, on my total choice of strings. And they're like, you know what, you know, how about like you make us something that like that you do want to use, or that you do believe in. I'm like, huh, I never thought of it that way. I was like, I guess the best person would be the person who hates it, like, you know, to make a string. And ever since I made this, it's exactly what I wanted, and it's been, you know, it's been lasting. Like, I use it all the time, and I love the sound of it. I love the brightness. I love the tone of these strings. I like how it keeps the intonation, and it's just good overall strings, like, for someone like myself. They're high tension. Some people might not like tension being too high, but I love them. So we're going to be giving away, I guess we'll give away two. You guys want to give away two?
To
two people. That's not what we're giving away for today, though, because we're giving away prizes to today's last challenge, I should say. Now, so pick these up. If you guys don't like want to chance it or win or anything, but you guys can just go online and get these. I believe they're anywhere from $10 to $15. So pricey for like four strings, but
yeah. Okay. At the top of the live lesson, we had a question that's Kavai said, I've been on such a kick of trying out new strings, I have the opposite problem of not changing often, right? My question would be, is it okay to string up an ukulele, then take off those strings after a few days and use them again later on a different ukulele?
If you can keep them intact and stuff, like, I don't see why not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why not. It's not like you bust them up and then they've got like indentations, because if you bust them up and you're like playing, you're fretting the, you know, so the strings, there's going to be indentations on, you know, on the string. But if it's only a few days, I don't think it should be that bad.
But the thing is that you really should keep the strings on for at least a week before
to hear that, you know.
Yeah. You can evaluate if you like them on that ukulele or not, because they have to kind of settle in. They have to kind of get that their true voice, I guess. So I would always keep it on for at least a week, and then after that, if you've been playing it for a little bit, then you can evaluate if you like that, yeah. that set of strings on that ukulele. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, move on to the next set.
And I think you're saying, like, as long as you don't make an indentation or make, you know, a groove or something.
Because the groove, if you... sorry for cutting you off, but the groove is... If you put this... If you take this off and you put it on another ukulele and the groove is, like, somewhere else, like, it's always
going to,
like...
kind of a weak point a weak on point. The... Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you totally can.
Yeah,
you
can.
Does it? Yeah.
I, just, it like, you're supposed to change your strings every couple months, but you don't
have to. You don't have to.
I think the point that
I can
usually...
totally I can feel this one
the grooves.
Yeah, so if you put your finger underneath the string and you kind of run your finger along the string, you can feel the grooves where the the string is touching the frets.
Fret wire.
I think the where you might if you change the strings like you know or brand new strings where there might be grooves is on the nut and on the saddle, right?
Yeah.
That's where it'll usually dig in. And then that's where if you try and restring them with another ukulele, it depends on a lot of stuff, but you might snap the strings if it dug in too much and there's just a groove already. I've done that with my guitar strings and like, you know, the really small strings snap easily.
So. I see. Yeah, so you can if you only use it for, you know, for a few days. But just like what Aaron said, it's, you know, it's usually like after a week, you really hear the real tone of the, you know, the strings because they've settled in. So, but it's up to you. You know, it's your strings, you bomb, you do whatever you want. But just our advice, you can. After a few days, why not? After a few weeks, you can. If you, you know, if you really want to, you can. They might not be optimal, you know, like they might not sound their best.
Yeah. And you really wanna play them to break them in to play them, stretch them, and you know like especially how you play them, because if you're kind of just doing like warm ups or something to break them in, that's not how you play them, so it's not gonna be optimized for
how you sound. I gotta play them on stage, and then once, you know, once they're on stage, and like it's kinda weird because if I play them on stage, then I run into the chance of them like kind of still breaking in, and I gotta like retune them after every song, you know.
I've seen you like change strings though, like the night before a set, and then you tried to break it in pretty good though, like pretty well, to make sure that it won't at least totally like the tuning will totally go off.
I'll tune it up a step, like maybe even a step and a half up, you know, just so that to make sure they're really getting stretched out. And I'll leave it overnight, and then the next day I'll tune it up, you know, Canadian tuning, which is A, D, F sharp, B, instead of the G, C, E, A. I'll tune it that, and I'll play like a really hard song, like While My Guitar Gently Weeps or something. I'll really abuse the uke, and then, you know, I'll play a few of those kind of songs, and then I think it's ready after that, you know. And once I get on stage to kind of set up or do the sound check, tune it to G, C, E, A. Stretch them out again, retune to GCEA until they're, you know, they don't slip. Yeah. So it's still a process. If I'm gonna do it the night before, it's always pretty risky.
But
you know,
works out.
Anything for the music. All right. So do we have any more before we move on to the challenge?
Yeah. You kind of just answered it, but.
Okay.
Kavaisa, do you all pull on your strings to stretch them out when you first put them on?
Yes. I mean, it's still. Yeah, even now.
And you stretch it kind of.
Yeah, I mean, pretty far.
Not crazy, but yeah.
But like these strings are, you know, are 4 months old at, you know, at this point, and I still do that. And it's just a good idea, because if you know, if I'm gonna come in here to the office and stuff, and this ukulele hasn't been touched since, I don't know, yesterday, maybe in 2 days, you know, it's just, it might slip. It's still, you know, a lot of strings still slip. Pro Artes do that, Ocula do that. You know, they're relatively in tune, but once you kind of, you know, once you start playing, they do tend to get off tune. So to prevent it from getting off tune while you're playing, like I would just take my tuner while I'm, you know, because you want to tune your ukulele before you get started, right? So, you know, when I, so here's an example. And when I'm just tuning my ukulele, I say, imagine I picked it up for the first time, you know, today, and I turn my tuner on. This is the first thing that I do. You know, like, oh, what? Like, what is tuning? And then I'd be like this, like pull it, Because it's just letting the ukulele know that, like, okay, we're, you know, we're about to do stuff. So just letting you know, it's think of it like stretching, you know, like stretching before, and it is literally exercise. Stretching, yeah. But before you exercise, you know, you want to stretch a little bit, you want to warm up and stuff. Strings, same thing.
Yeah, I like even, you know, some dead strings where it's just like, no matter if you tune it, when you turn the peg, it'll shoot up, like it'll be too sharp, and then you try and turn it down, and it'll be too flat. Like, you can't get the Goldilocks just right, right?
Yeah.
When that happens for me, I crank it so it's sharp, and then I yank on the strings to make it flat again to kind of like level it out. But that, at that point, you should change the strings. That's me trying to stretch it. No.
Aaron, do you remember when we, one of the first times we hung with Craig Chi was we hung out with Jake. And then we saw, like, his tour bus. And we went on his tour bus. And his tour bus, that's when I found out about, what is that vibrating
tone
thing?
Rate.
Tone rate. So when I found out about tone rate. And I was like, what's that on your ukulele? It's like, oh, it's my tone rate. Because it's, you know, it's kind of cold here. My strings are going to be kind of tight. Because, you know, the cold weather is going to tighten up those fibers. It's going to make it tight. So he had his tone rate on. And like he put it on like a few hours before, you know, before the show to make sure that his ukulele strings are nice and loose for the show. That's like another, if you guys have one of those, I mean, I know we talked about it a long, long, long time ago here on the show, but tone rights.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
it's good to break in your instrument too, right? You know, or I guess like it depends on your instrument and depends on what you're looking for.
But yeah.
I think it works.
Usually it's to, you know, it's to break in the instrument, but, you know, Jake used it to kind of break in those strings or to make sure that his strings don't like act funny on stage, you know, when he's up there.
Do you want to explain like what it is briefly?
Okay, well, tone right is basically just a, you know,
like a device,
like a device that puts vibration to your ukulele, and it's kind of like imitating you playing it, because playing your ukulele is basically, you know, strumming these strings and then sending vibrations, therefore the top vibrates. So if you can vibrate the top, that means, you know, you don't have to kind of play it, and you're, you know, simulating like playing the ukulele. So some people would say that, like, oh, you know, it takes years for you to kind of hear the real sound of that ukulele, because, you know, it's gonna, if the more you play it, the better it sounds and stuff. That just kind of makes that process faster, I believe.
It kind of just has ridges, and you slip those ridges between your strings, and then just like, it's just a shaking box.
Yeah, it'll just shake at a you know, specified vibration or hertz that'll vibrate in.
So,
and it'll age your ukulele for you.
Daniel said, I heard it only really works on solid tops, not laminate tops.
Yes, that's also true. It works on solid tops, because laminate tops are exactly that. It's laminate top. Like, no matter how much you play that laminate, it's only going to sound as good as that laminate is going to sound as good as day one, you know?
It's a laminate is like plywood.
Yeah.
So like, if people don't know, like...
Yeah. Like, and, you know, with solid tops, because it is a solid, you know, piece of wood, it's got room to breathe. So if you give it those vibrations that we're talking about, then it'll get softer. And the softer the wood is, the more it can vibrate. And the more it vibrates, the more, you know, sound you can get out of it.
That's kind of why, too, like, people price vintage guitars, like, used vintage guitars higher... is because they aged and seasoned. Broken in. And
stuff. Yeah, so it's not going to sound exactly like an aged, like, or like a vintage, you know, ukulele and stuff, but it's definitely going to help out with breaking it in.
The only way you can really get that is, like, if you just keep it for a long time.
Yeah, that's just seasoned wood. I mean, you can't do that except for pop the time. It's not like a device is going to make it sound like a Stradivarius, you know? Like, a Stradivarius is like that piece of wood grown in that time period, you know, like there's some things that you can't duplicate. So
it's like, what is it? Like, aged beef or whatever, where it's like moldy and stuff, but you cut away the mold and it's delicious meat.
Underneath the mold. Yeah. But the mold's what makes it taste good.
So same thing with instruments. You like,
open
it up and it's like, oh, this instrument is super moldy. Inside. And you wipe away the mold.
Kinder.
Like,
play it. yeah, it's really cool. I have one. Kahai has one. You know, we stand mm-hmm. behind it and stuff. And I've used it to break in my instruments. I don't have any new instruments to break in recently, so I haven't been using it that much. But every time I get a new instrument, I put it on and I leave it for a week.
I bullied Kyle into getting one too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you Kyle like I
was friend
like,
of the show Kyle Ferruccio.
Yeah, yeah.
Friend of the show.
Very good friend because we were both at NAMM and I was like, Kyle, yeah, let's go ask that guy if we can buy
tone rights.
We'll each buy a tone right. Yeah. Okay, shoot. And we went and we got it for a discounted price because we both bought it at the same time. So,
well, how much do you guys buy? Because it retails for like $200 or something, yeah, right? Like $150, $200. It's not cheap.
Yeah, I don't remember how much. We got it for a little bit cheaper than that.
But yeah, I think I bought mine for $150. I think it was like $150. And you know, you're thinking like $150, my uke is like only $89 or whatever, and it's not meant for that uke. It's meant for like, you know, ukes, like solid body ukuleles. You know, like maybe you buy a uke like Tenor
guitars,
Kamaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, or guitar, you know, Tenor Kamaka, Kanilea, Koloa and stuff. You know, you get something like that to open up the sound.
Jim from Australia said, yep, vibrating a material, any material will harden the material. So for a timber ukulele top, it should stiffen the top and reduce damping of the top due to a softer material. Mm-hmm. But I think when you said like it opens it up or makes it softer, it's more the sound, like kind of the sound expands open.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the
wood. Not like making it like... Like taking like a piece of beef and putting it like in hot water will tenderize. No, it's not gonna tenderize the tenderize the wood. It's gonna open it up. Is what I mean.
We just wanted to make that aged meat. Like
we just wanted to talk about food.
Like, it's gonna taste good. It's gonna taste better. Just trust us.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not tenderizing
stuff. And some people say that it doesn't make a difference at all. Like, or they can't hear the difference at all. So. Yeah. It kind of is subjective. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Take it all with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm.
Why do people pay, like, why did Jake pay, like, $5,000 for his, you know, gold cable?
Oh, yeah. Analysis you know what I mean? Plus.
Analysis Plus has a gold cable.
Made
out of gold.
Yeah.
Jake should have made a video where he's wearing sunglasses and they're like sprinkling the Analysis Plus cable onto him.
Baller.
Yeah.
Baller.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've tried that cable. I've plugged it into my ukulele. Did it make a difference?
It sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds great.
But you can't really tell the... No, you weren't able to tell the difference?
It did sound good. Like, don't get me wrong. But did it sound $5,000 good? Like, no. But that's also subjective, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because I bought a $200 cable. And this sounds $200 good.
That's like, still, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds $200 good. And that's the... I guess Silverline. The Zeola Silverline. That's the one that I currently use. $200 makes my ukulele sound pretty good. I've tried Analysis Plus before. That also sounds really good. I had one that was like $400 or $500 at one point, but it broke on me. I'm like, I'm not gonna spend another $400 or $500 to make it sound like that because it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Or just the amount of difference doesn't justify the amount. The
I'll buy a $200 cable, but that's pretty
for
much
you.
Yeah, for myself, because it's like,
I guess
okay,
for some
well,
people
you
it
know,
does though.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, $5,000. Would you buy a cable $5,000, Kai?
Should I?
What if you heard the $5,000 difference? Would you still drop $5,000 down?
Should I say what I just bought?
Okay. Well, since you brought it up, what'd you just buy, Kai?
People will not know what this is. It's a MIDI controller.
Okay.
And it's called Push. The company that makes it is Ableton, so it's an Ableton Push.
Nice. That's not cheap.
Yeah, it is not cheap. And I bought it with software, so it was even more expensive. But you know,
if you use it,
we're not encouraging people to pirate stuff. But couldn't you just have pirated things, pirated software?
I'm an old man. I can't go on the pirate bay anymore.
Throw money at
but that. Yeah, what it is, I already have like MIDI keyboards and stuff, so I can pretty much do everything it does, but it just makes it more efficient to make music, I guess, you know, in a way. And it's really like, when you look at people who use it, that's really the music that I want to make. So when it comes to that, I'm like, Yeah, I'll spend this money to, you know.
Could I ask how much it is? Can I guess the number? You said tell me higher or lower.
Okay. How the controller?
1,000.
With the software, yeah,
it's $1,000
with the software, with all the bells and whistles.
Would you pay $5,000 for a cable?
For a cable?
See, like at least your controller controls things, and it's software, and it's like all these things. But if it's like it's a cable, you know how what cables do. You plug it in, plug it into the other side, plug it into your instrument, and plug it into the other side. That's it. That's all. Use it literally as a scarf does.
Every day.
So I have a guitar that's like $500.
Okay.
So that would be like 5,000. That's 10 of those guitars, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think I'd rather get 10 guitars.
That's than like $500. That's like a really nice used car, like for $5,000. You know, it's a down payment for a good car.
Yeah, exactly that.
Oh man,
I want to see Jake. Jake should take the cable and be like,
yeah. I think we talked about it in this show, but there was like a picture of him on Instagram, and he had like those gold cables basically just lying on the floor like everywhere. And I was thinking, I was counting, I was like, that's at least $30,000 of cables on the floor. Like on the floor, can like put a down payment in a house, you know? Like,
If he's ever on our show, we ever have him on like live listen, we should be like, can you explain this picture and all these cables? What is going on? All
right. So before we end the show, we gotta go do this. First off, we do a challenge, you know, a songwriting challenge here on the show. You know, every now and then, we usually give people like two to three weeks to complete the songwriting challenge. We'll give you the chords, we'll give you the keys and stuff, and we'll give you some bonuses along the way. And we like to reward those people who do the challenge. And we also do them. And if you want to listen to our songs that we wrote, check out last week's episode where we kind of revealed our songs and what we came up with. So we only had two submissions, you know, for this time on our song challenge or songwriting challenge, and I thought we were gonna get more because it was pretty easy, you know, it wasn't a hard challenge, but you know, we got what we got. And the thing is, because we only had two people, we're gonna reward both those guys. Okay, so it's going to be Kavai and
Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our man in Japan is gonna get one, and so is Kavai. So both of you guys, Daniel already has a Bandido Talent poster.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to give you some coffee from Hawaii. And Kavai, you're going to get a signed Bandido Tyler poster in the mail. We're going to be sending it to you. So Kavai, let us... Oh, we already have his info, right? Or do we not have his info?
We'll message you.
And we'll get your info from you. We'll send it right away. So congratulations to both of you. And really, we want to encourage all of you guys to just write songs in your ukulele or just play your ukulele and just see what you can tinker around with. Even if it's just playing those chords, maybe even just like kind of putting a nice spin on the strumming or on a rhythm stuff. Like that can be it. If you're just, you know, honestly, if you just took those chords that we said, F, D minor, B flat, C, you know, or C7, whatever. If you just kind of did a, then go up. Technically a song, you know, like that could always just be like, okay, well, I made this cool little strumming with some like fooling around with the inversions and the chords and stuff. That's, you know, that's already a song, and it can be put into a hat, and you pick a name out of the hat, give them some cool prizes. And in this case, we're giving both people some cool prizes.
I was thinking about, like, I mean, we just made a pretty easy challenge. Like, we just did a pretty easy one. But you want to try, like, another easy challenge and maybe do a twist on it?
We'll do another easy challenge. So we are going to lay down the framework for the new challenge. So what key would you guys like to do? We did F.
I was thinking, what if we do, instead of, you know how we set, chord pattern? Like, it has to be in this chord pattern?
Yeah.
What if we say it's, like, you know, a couple chords, and then even that, like, leave it open for if they want to do it in a different key, but then use those chords or something, like,
Okay.
Up to them.
Okay, so we'll just give a chord progression. How about that? And you just pick whatever key
or
you
want. Or just like two chords. And like, it could be whatever.
Yeah, because like I was thinking like F and C, right? And that could either be in the key of F or it could be in the key of C.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we could do whatever. Just I thought something easy.
Okay, well that makes sense too. But I just thought like we're gonna pick two chords and like that seems a little too, because I mean every song is at least two chords, right? Except if you're singing "Get Up, Stand Up" by Bob Marley, which is one chord.
Yeah. So like those two chords or what?
Oh, F and C. You guys want to do that?
Whatever.
Up to you.
I want to do G. We did F last, okay. You know, last time. So let's do G this
G
time.
And D.
G and D. Yeah, they're kind of so interchangeable because you can either do it in the key of D.
Yeah.
So G would be the 4. Or if you did it in the key of G, the D would be the 5. So let's do that. All right. G and D. You have to have a G chord and a D chord. That's it. Okay.
Do you wanna you wanna write out the chord in the chord families for those two?
Yes, but I don't wanna fill because I wanna do some bonuses on this side. But key of G and key of D, whatever, you know, whatever you want. If you guys wanna figure out the chord family to that, we have videos into showing you what the chord family are in that, or you can download the circle of fifths to figure mm-hmm. that out. But okay, so G and D, we got that. Anything else you guys want to add?
Yoda said, "What about movable chord shapes?" So I guess like as a bonus, it needs to have movable chord shapes.
Okay.
Or chord inversions?
Maybe? Yeah, maybe. So chord inversions. So we'll do chord, and that's a good one. So these are bonuses. So the only thing you need to do, honestly, is to just have G and D in that. It's very, very, very easy challenge for this round. So chord inversions is a bonus. Let's see, lyrics always. Lyrics is a bonus.
Do we want to do another like style bonus?
Reggae. I want to hear a reggae song from Aaron. That's why.
What if reggae? But what if Aaron is like, I want to do more 60s and 50s songs. I'm stuck in that time.
We'll do strictly 1962 now. If it's 63, it doesn't count, Aaron. So I'll do reggae, do some lyrics, some chord inversions. What else can we add on to here just to make things interesting? Give people some ideas.
We did time changes before.
Yeah, not too much people like that. How about too big of fans?
How about a odd time signature? So like 3-4 or 6-8, you know?
As a bonus?
As a bonus. I guess as a bonus that works. You can do 3-4 or 6-8. You can do that.
Or anything beyond that if you want. Yeah.
4-4 is the norm, and then mm-hmm. if you do anything else, then we'll count that as a bonus.
And what else? Yeah. One last thing.
Well, reggae, it'd be hard to do a
6-8. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. See? You gotta do a 6-8.
Does it count if it's like, is this love in 3-4?
It's a reggae song, but it's not in the reggae. Yeah, I guess. Be creative with it. I mean, honestly, you can do whatever mm-hmm. you want.
If you can do both of those, then okay. you win. You automatically win.
Or you can have a reggae song and just have a 3-4 breakdown in the middle, you know?
So the only real requirements are you need G and D in your song, and mm-hmm. then everything else is just bonus.
Bonus.
Okay.
Okay, I think
That's a pretty easy song challenge. Yep. Yep. So
there it is.
So post your songs in the forum.
Yeah.
Or email us or whatever, however you want to get it to us, and mm-hmm. we'll enter your name into the hat.
And we're gonna pick names out of the hat, and those names will get a set of AG cross AQ strings. So write them songs. Right, I'll sign them. So it'll be like a signed pack of Aldrin Guerrero strings. Kai, you want to sign them too?
If they
we'll all sign it. All right, so there it is. That's this round's challenge. Any last minute stuff that we gotta take care of before we go?
I don't think so. Nothing really coming up to you, no songs or anything.
Yeah, okay. So, thank you so much for watching us. So, we are going to be here tomorrow streaming again for the Aloha Friday Live Jam. So, come back then. Come back for the jam. The jam is going to be fun. We do a jam. We just kind of, play some songs. It's super laid back. So, join us 1 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time for the Aloha Friday Live Jam. And also, stick around if you're, for all of you UU Plus subscribers, and check out the one-on-one coaching that is coming up in just a few short while. I think it starts at 2:15. So, we'll see you guys then. Have a great one. Aloha.